Stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live, but first, here's our Denver Bible Church update with an excerpt from this week's sermon.
Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now, it happened on a certain day that Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake," that is, across Galilee, and they launched out. Now, reading this story, I'm reminded of Jonah, who was sent by God. Jonah, who had been swallowed by a great fish and remained in the fish for 3 days, and he lived. And when I think about that story of Jonah, I also remember what Jesus said at the end of the book of Luke, at the end of chapter 24, when he said that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the Bible concerning him. So that he said that the Bible was a book about him. The Old Testament was written as a prophecy and an introduction to Jesus Christ. None of the holy books of the other major world religions, none of those books have such a history. In that they contain prophecies of the coming one. The other religions of the world, like Islam and Muhammad, he just shows up on the scene. Here's Muhammad, and then his story is recorded. But there were not centuries, there were not millennia, thousands of years of prophecies leading up to him so that we could have a track record and say, well, is he the one that was prophesied or is he not? If God really did want to write a book that could be trusted as his word for thousands of years, well, then a great way to do it would be to fill that book with prophecies of the future and have that book written over a period of centuries so that the book itself becomes part of the record of history. And then the book contains prophecies of future events that would become part of the record of history, and especially prophetic of the coming Messiah. And so uniquely, the Bible does just that, with the Old Testament filled with prophecies of the Messiah, fulfilled in the historical record of the New Testament and in the history of the world. But aside from dozens of direct prophecies in the Old Testament, the Old Testament has dozens of specific prophecies, such as where the Messiah would be born, in Bethlehem. When would he be born? Well, it was during a time of a great census for the peoples of the world. Where would he die? In Jerusalem. When would he die? 483 years after Artaxerxes gave a command to rebuild the temple. How would he die? His hands and his feet would be pierced. Why would he die? Well, he'd be accused, but he'd be innocent of the accusations. And it turns out he would die not for his own sins, but for the sins of the world. In addition to that kind of corroboration, the Old Testament has scores of stories which do not give specific messianic prophecies. They're just stories. But these stories serve as an introduction to Christ, and they prefigure him. That's a word that we're not as familiar with as prophecy. A prophecy can be very specific and say, in this year, at this time, this place, such an event will occur. But when something prefigures something else, it means it doesn't give a specific prophecy, but it prepares you for that coming event.
Now stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live.
Service with the weekend.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyard, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. Hey, you could feel free to tune in Wednesday night for a rerun. Wait a minute. Did I say Wednesday night? Tuesday night. Feel free to tune in Tuesday night for a rerun with our interview with Ann Coulter on her new book, Treason. Yeah, that was a fun interview. Ann Coulter had the opportunity to hear 4 minutes of a sermon from Denver Bible Church from 3 years ago, in which I mentioned Senator Joseph McCarthy being an American hero, which is one of the main topics of her book, her brand new book, Treason. And also Bill Maher, who's one of Ann Coulter's friends, believe it or not. Sort of funny. But we're going to re-air that Tuesday night, all right? So if you know any Ann Coulter fans, that's an opportunity to invite them to tune in. Okay, now an Associated Press story out about copyrights for music, and the attitudes of Americans. And this is something we've discussed on this show a bit. I'm a bit surprised to find that there are Christians, at least some Christians, who argue that that we should not respect copyrights, that copyrights should not exist. And it seems to me intuitively obvious that intellectual property rights should exist. If somebody writes a song and they record the song, they make a CD, they should be able to charge people who want to purchase that CD and listen to their music. The same thing if you write a book or if you produce a movie. You know, movies cost how much to produce these days? Good movies could cost tens of millions of dollars. And if they produce a movie, and as soon as they show it, anyone could copy it, it's not only is it wrong, but it also would defund a lot of major efforts to create, you know, wonderful works of art and drama and intellectual pursuits. So at any rate, I'd like to look at this article from the Associated Press out August 1st, Copyright, Not a Worry for Music Downloaders. Two-thirds of internet users who download music do not care whether they're violating copyright laws, according to a new survey that highlights the uphill enforcement battle facing the recording industry. All right, so two-thirds of Americans. Now, this survey was published this past Thursday by the nonprofit Pew Internet and American Life Project. They estimated that about 35 million American adults, that's about 30% of internet users, use file sharing software. Now, file sharing software, that's like a euphemism for file stealing software, for stealing software. So let's see here. With file sharing software, you go on the internet and you search for, let's see, who has a copy of the new Matrix movie online, if anyone does, and then download it. Or more commonly, who has a file of these Beatles White Album songs that I'd like to get and have for free, not pay for, and you find it and you download it. All right, there was Napster for a while. Then Napster was mostly put out of business. And now there's alternatives other than Napster for stealing music, copyrighted music. And also, of course, the same technology could be used for stealing artwork and software and internet newsletters. You know, there are newsletter, for example, specialists who in in almost every significant field or of endeavor, of human effort. Like, let's say internet security for protecting people's money in their bank accounts online. And there are security experts, and they put out newsletters, and typically to subscribe to one of their newsletters costs a lot of money. It might cost, let's say, $400 or $500 a year, or even a month, or a quarter, depending on the sophistication of the information you're getting. And it's really neat to be able to benefit from someone who is a world-renowned expert. And if it costs you a few $100, they're sending you their latest information on a regular basis. And because they can charge a lot for that, well, then they can devote their time, their energy, support their family, pay their mortgage, provide for their retirement. They can do that full time and sell you that information. Sell it to you and a few hundred or a few thousand other people, companies, and they make a good living and they get paid well for their efforts. If there is no such thing as a copyright, so this guy is working hard to come up with his insight and his research and puts it in a newsletter and sends it out, and whoever gets it just sends it out freely to whoever wants it, just posts it on the internet. And somebody on Google, in 10 seconds, anyone in the world, has your newsletter for free. And so then that guy could no longer devote his full-time effort to educating people about whatever he's an expert in. So his newsletter effectively goes away, and he has to figure out a different way of making money and selling his services and his experience to people, all because the copyright has been undermined in America. And that's what's happening, of course. You know what's funny? What part of our culture has done as much as any other part to undermine morality? The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Well, say our popular culture, pop culture, the record industry. They have led the way for undermining morality. They've led the way. They've taught tens of millions of young people to reject authority, question authority. There's no such thing as right and wrong. If it feels good, do it. And so guess what? It feels good to steal your music, Capitol Records. It feels really good. I don't have to pay $16 for a CD. I just go online and I get it virtually for free, and I copy it to my own CD that I bought for 35 cents, of which you didn't get a penny. And so they, you know, your sin will find you out is what the Bible says. And there are natural cause and effect that comes into play.
Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here, encouraging you to check out our monthly Bible study album. You could get a subscription to the Bob Inyart Live monthly Bible study album, and you will get a really fun study delivered to your door in the mail on audio tape. Typically, the albums have 6 audio tapes, some more, some less. usually probably an average of 6 hours. A lot of them have 9 hours of Bible study or even more than that. And this costs you, how much does this cost? $34.95 a month. Is that right? The monthly Bible study album, $34.95 a month. That's right. And you start out with the plot, the overview of the whole Bible. That's your first album. And you'll eventually, they come in different orders, but generally you'll get Genesis, creation, and the fall. Learn all about Adam and Eve and why did God put that tree in the midst of the garden? Why didn't he hide it somewhere deep in a cave? Why did he put it right in the midst of the garden? And how long after Adam and Eve were created, how long did they sin and rebel? And how about Lucifer? And you'll get the law of Moses and go through the Bible right to Revelation. It's so much fun. NYART, 1-800-836-9278. That's the order line. Of course, it's the call-in line, too, but it's the order line if you're interested in subscribing to the monthly Bible study albums. Okay, so the music industry has taught millions of young people in America to question authority. There's no such thing as right or wrong. If it feels good, do it. And they're saying, guess what, guys? Sony, it feels good to steal your music. That's what they're saying. So there's about 60 million American users of file sharing software across all age groups. And the younger the Americans, the more they say that stealing music is not, there's nothing wrong with it. 18 to 29 year olds, 72% of 18 to 29 year olds are the least worried about copyrights, saying they're just not concerned. If they could download music, video, software, whatever, books, magazines, newsletters, term papers, steal whatever they can, they're all for it. So that's 72% of 18 to 29-year-olds. 61% of Americans who were 30 to 49 were similarly unconcerned. So that's up to 50 years of age. That over a majority says, I don't care. Now, the ones that had the absolute least concern, according to the survey, were the 18 to 29-year-olds who were also students. 82% of students are completely unconcerned about violating the law and stealing other people's property. And so I think that's tragic, but it's not justice, but a term we use in our culture, poetic justice. If someone teaches young people to steal and then they steal from him, we call that poetic justice. And the Bible says your sin will find you out. And there's the law of cause and effect and just reality. You teach people to steal and they will rob you. And that's what's happening to the record industry, which is really suffering big time. What does it cost to buy a CD these days? I don't know. Does it cost 20 bucks? About 20 bucks for a new CD, or get it online for free. That's a good deal. And then if you save it in your computer, you already have your computer and your sound system. You might not, most of the music you listen to at home, you might not even have to write to a CD. Don't even have to spend the 50 cents to buy a blank CD. You download it to your portable MP3 player. How many hours of music could they hold? I don't know. I don't have one of those. 10 hours of music? You don't even have to write it to a CD. Just download it. That's amazing. Now, you could compare that to what the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. You know, I remember some time ago, there was an article. Let me look. Let me see if I have this article. It was found this on the internet or someone emailed it to me. Let me. Hey, Al. Al, could you pull up that article on copyrights? Yeah. Now, Al the Fourth is my co-host computer. I have a computer for a co-host here on Bob and Yurt Live. Except for Friday nights, Doug McBurney joins me quite often. But the rest of the week, it's just me and Al. Al the Fourth. This is the fourth generation of a co-host here. Okay. He's just a Pentium 1000, I think. A 1 gigahertz. Pentium 2 or 3 or whatever. Is it Dell Inspiron 8000? Oh, here it is. All right. This is a few verses put together by a Steve Marr at Business Reform on the web. And back in March, or April 30th, and he listed, for example, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 13:10, to render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom is due. And Steve Marr says, notice that we're not instructed to render what we think is fair, but render what is due. And he writes that he believes that copying or downloading material without permission or payment, if asked for permission or payment, is simply wrong. And Jesus taught that a worker is worthy of his support. That's in Matthew 10:10. A worker is worthy of his support. And Steve Marr points out, I would say the same. He says, I'm not a big fan of Hollywood or the movie industry, but I am a strong supporter of private property rights. If we allow people to indiscriminately copy what belongs to another person, songs and movies in this case, can attacks on other private property be far behind? And he's right. And of course not. It's thou shalt not steal. You know, copyright, the way copyright works, copyrights and patents are very different. But copyright, as you write something, as you write it, as it's coming out of the tip of your pen, it's automatically copyrighted. As you create something, it's yours. And then you could register that copyright, and you could take steps to protect your rights. If you then put that, whatever you've written, if you put it in the public domain with no claim to ownership, then you'll lose your right to it. But if you write something with the pencil or pen on paper or on your computer, and then you put copyright with the year and your name, then you're fine. You have then copyrighted that work. You could go further and register your copyright, but you don't need to do that. If you just indicate on the cover of a book or a CD on the CD or on a page on the internet, and you put copyright or the symbol with the C in the middle, the circle, or the word copyright 2003 and your name here or your company, then it's copyrighted. That's it. It's that easy. Why should it be that easy? Because you created it. You created it, and it should be that easy. Now, patents are different. Patents have to do with inventions, and that gets a lot more complicated. But copyright is about as easy as can be. Then there's trademarks. Like if you have a band name and you trademark the Beatles, so that another band could not come along and call themselves the Beatles and sell the White Album. But you cannot copyright, you can't trademark the name of titles of books and songs, for example. Like, let's say you wrote a book on the Kennedy presidency and you titled it that. You can't copyright that because there are too many songs, too many books. That would all, and even movies, I think, titles generally cannot be copyrighted. So, all right, let's see if he says anything else here, Steve Marr. He says, while the court decisions to date allow the copying software to be sold or given away, The actual copying of the entertainment is still not allowed. Okay, I apologize that I don't understand his sentence here. The problem for every music company is to find and sue every individual offender, and that, of course, is not a practical solution. Oh, I see what he's saying. He's saying courts have said that the software that's used for copying can be sold or distributed, given away, even though the actual copying of copyrighted entertainment is not allowed. And as a result, many argue that everyone else is doing it, so why shouldn't I? But the Bible says, if sinners entice you, do not consent. He's quoting from the New American Standard Bible, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. If sinners entice you, do not consent. So we may have the ability to get around copyright laws, but not the moral right to do so. That's Steve Marr's argument, and I believe he's correct. And I asked the question on a previous show where we brought up this topic, and I said, how about contracts and notes and IOUs and treasury bills and stock certificates and Federal Reserve notes, $20 bills? They're all effectively copyrighted, that you're not allowed to produce your own stock certificates. And so could you just go ahead and print $50 bills and $100 bills and give them away to your friends? If there's no such thing as a copyright, and of course you're not. Of course you should not be allowed to do that. So anyway, we've got a problem facing this country, and you know, I'm glad that the problem is mostly hurting the people who have created the problem. I'm really glad about that. And so here we will have the record industry, one of the most immoral groups and influences in all of American culture, will have the record industry trying to re-educate Americans on thou shall not steal. That's going to be really funny. Thou shall not steal. I wonder how long it will take them. It took about 50 years to undermine the basic morality that Americans had, that thou shall not steal was something no one would admit to violating in public. People would be ashamed to admit that they were stealing. Today, what have we pointed out on this show? When Bill Clinton gets high approval ratings, well, he's a lying fornicator, so he makes lying fornicators feel good about themselves. And that's why he always received high ratings. Because as a lying fornicator, the leader of the country, he made lying fornicators feel good about themselves. And so we have thieves in this country who feel good about themselves. The more that people steal from the record companies, the more thieves will feel good about it. And apparently, and I would not have thought this unless I'd seen it with my own eyes, but apparently there are very well-meaning Christians who have come to an intellectual position that copyright is bad law, that there should be no such thing as copyrights. And that's distressful to me. I've not seen them make a good argument. I think they're completely wrong. And in their own way, they're helping to undermine morality and law here in America. So we'll be back after this. 1-800-836-9278. Bob Enyard here, talking to those listening just on the internet at kgov.com. Those who've downloaded and burned the show to a CD, welcome. How are you? Thanks for tuning in via the web. We have about 1,800 unique visitors a week tuning in to KGov on the web, and those 1,800 unique visitors, some of them, about 600 of those visitors, come back to the site a number of times a week, and about a 10.5-minute visit per visit, which is pretty neat. It's telling us people are downloading the shows. A lot of people have broadband. We're glad you're here. This is Bob Enyart inviting you out to Denver Bible Church this Sunday morning if you live in Colorado. If you don't, then, hey, visit us on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. But for those of you in Colorado, hey, we have a lot of fun at church. Sunday mornings, our Sunday school is fully two-way, interactive, informal. In fact, we're going through the Gospel of Matthew. We're in chapter 12. And somebody at the study a week ago said, well, why don't we look at the topic of the 3 days and three nights that Jesus said he would be dead and in the grave. And if he died on Friday, as the Roman Catholic Church teaches, Good Friday, and then he rose on Sunday, you really can't get the three nights in there. If he rose Sunday morning at daybreak, how does that work? And so we went through that this past Sunday. We'll conclude it next Sunday during Sunday school. But it's really, really fun to study the Bible seriously and see what it says.
You're invited to tune in to Bob Enyart Live weeknights at 7 right here on KLTT.
Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, hosts a conservative talk radio news show.
It's fun. Hear the
O'Reilly
segments. Explore the real difference between right and left-wingers.
And learn why liberals call for peace while conservatives fight for freedom.
So stay tuned to AM 670 KLTT and listen to Bob Enyart Live weeknights at 7.
Welcome back, Bob Enyart Live. And this first half of the show, we talked about Thou Shall Not Steal. Thou Shall Not Steal and copyright laws. And now I want to get to this topic. We've been saying that we're going to address this question for over a week now, and we've always ran out of time. So now we're going to do it. The all sins are equal Christian cliche. Is that true? All sins are equal. Well, I'd like to quote what Jesus said to Pilate in John chapter 19, verse 11. Oh, hold on a second. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob Enyart Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. All right, now that we've complied with the FCC regulations, we can quote a Bible verse. All sins are not equal. They're not. Isn't it intuitively obvious that all sins are equal? How could millions, and I mean millions, tens of millions of Christians, how could we come to the state of affairs where tens of millions of Christians will repeat as though they're mesmerized in a trance, as though they're hypnotized, and they say, all sins are equal. How could they say that? How could they possibly say that? Do words not have meaning to Christians neither any longer? Words just don't have meaning anymore. That was true of liberals for a long time. Now for Christians also, words have no meaning. 9/11. Murdering 3,000 people, was that equal to someone who covets their neighbor's new car? Is that equal? Is it equal? Murdering 3,000 people and stealing a pen from your boss? Are they equal? Stealing a pen from your boss is wrong. But is it the same as murdering thousands of people? Well, Jesus said to Pilate, he said, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. That's what Jesus said to Pilate. Now, perhaps there's something in the context there that shows that Jesus says, well, now, Pilate, I'm going to mention the greater sin, but I don't really believe in greater or lesser sins. All sins are equal. So therefore, when I mention the greater sin, don't worry about it. Just know that all sins are equal, but now I'm going to say it. The one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. No, there's no context that says that Jesus didn't mean that. Of course he meant that. Why? Because Pilate was a Gentile. And Judas was one of his own disciples. And the high priest, Annas and Caiaphas, Annas was his father-in-law, and Caiaphas, they were the Jewish high priests. And even Herod was half Jew. And all of those men had greater sin than Pilate had. Pilate was a Roman. He wasn't an expert in Jewish law. He didn't know about the Jewish prophecies. He didn't follow Jesus' ministry on a day-to-day basis. And so Judas and Annas and Caiaphas and even Herod had the greater sins than Pilate had. John 19, verse 11. Let's go to the phones in Aurora, Colorado. Daniel, speak your mind.
Hello.
Hello, Daniel. Daniel, are you there? We heard the hello. Hi, Daniel. Nope, we're losing you. All right, we'll see if we can get Daniel back. But that's what Jesus said to Pilate. Now, do you know the verse that says all sins are equal? Where's that verse? Let me see. I thought I had it right here. Where'd that verse go? Verse. Where's that verse? All sins are equal. Genesis? Is it in Genesis? No, I can't find it in Genesis. Is it in Exodus? Maybe it's in Exodus. Let me page through here. There's only 40 chapters in Exodus. Let me flip through. Leviticus? Numbers? Maybe we could find it in Deuteronomy. All sins are equal. Deuteronomy? Nope, it's not there either. It's a good thing I know how to scan quickly. Let's go to the phones. Aurora, Colorado. Daniel. Daniel, speak your mind.
I'm here, Bob, but I can't hear you.
Okay, well, we can hear Daniel. I can hear Daniel. Daniel cannot hear us. So, Daniel, hang on there, and we are going to try to make an engineering correction to a problem, and we will we'll try to – let's see. Daniel, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thanks for hanging in there with us.
Hi, Bob. This is actually Daniel from God Is Now Here.
Daniel with the GodIsNowHere.org ministry on the web. Daniel, it's so great to talk to you guys. You guys have the neatest ministry.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, I have something very bizarre that happened to me this weekend.
All right.
And I am very curious. I mean, certainly on the level of quantifying or qualifying sin, this is right up there.
Okay.
I went up to a place called Boulder Falls. Yeah, and I don't know if you've ever been there before, but it's extraordinarily beautiful.
Hiking up the canyon from Boulder?
Yes.
Yeah, we've been there, but many years ago.
Okay, well, it's worth going back tomorrow. It's a really nice place.
Uh-huh.
But we had been there a week ago, and we had really struggled to get past a certain part of the river. So I decided that I would try to go up and over a mountain to get to the other side, further upriver.
Mm-hmm.
And I took my two girls with me, who they're very courageous and pretty strong little guys, or gals in this case. And so I take them places that probably most people wouldn't go, let alone kids.
Right.
And as we started going down and getting closer and closer to the river, all of a sudden, I saw a bunch of people that were nude.
Ah.
And there was really no way for us to go back the way we came without just a huge amount of effort.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the decision to go all the way down to the river to hopefully cross the river to see if we could head downstream to another location. And anyway, all I can say is that it was impossible for me to avoid these folks. And I ended up splitting the difference. So there were people on the left and people on the right. And the girls were really tired, and they wanted to get in the water, so they did. and I found a place that they couldn't see anything going on.
Mm-hmm.
But the next thing I knew, all of a sudden, about 8 to 10 homosexual men came and basically were very aggressive and began peeling clothes off pretty much in front of my daughters, to the point that I had to get all our stuff as fast as we could and start hiking out of a trail that I didn't even know existed. I didn't even know if there was a trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told my girls just to continually look at the trail, look at the wall, or look at the mountains, don't look at the water, blah, blah, blah. And it's very, very difficult and hard terrain to get through.
Mm.
But I was in shock. I didn't expect to run into this.
Right.
I brought my girls with me.
Of course.
And at the end of the day, I'm driving home. I'm not sure, you know, like, oh, my gosh, what should I do? Well, there was a police officer. And so I pulled over.
Well, Daniel, my guess is he couldn't care less. But go ahead. Keep telling the story.
Well, that was, you already got it.
Yeah.
He didn't care. So what are we supposed to do? I mean, give me a break, man. That's my river.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So,
yeah,
anyway, that was my day.
Hey, Daniel, the previous half of the show, we just talked about how American pop culture has been undermining morality in our country, and that, you know, the record labels have led the way, teaching young Americans, if it feels good, do it, question authority. And so now they're able to steal these albums from the music industry, from the recording labels, just by downloading them for free over the internet.
Right.
And it's biting the recording industry. They're the ones who told kids to do whatever you want. If it feels good, do it. Question authority. And so the kids are saying, hey, it feels good to steal your music. And so, sin will find you out. And our culture is being destroyed. The Christian morality of American culture is being undermined. And we're finding out, really, America's Christian time was a bit of a blip in human history.
Sure.
Because it's not normal for a country or a society to elevate Christian values to the status of law. That's not normal. And
right.
And we've been doing that, and so now it's crumbling. And so as it crumbles, I'm so sad for you and your daughters especially, that you had to go through that. But I guess we're going to be seeing more and more of that. In Denver, downtown Denver, at Cheeseman Park, the Homo Park, that you've got nude sunbathers that the courts have held. They have a right to be nude in town.
I didn't know that. I thought this was illegal activity. Oh, my God.
Well, it's supposed to be. But in Denver, just in Denver County, the Denver judges have said it's fine. We were out. Could you hang on? I want to tell you about, we went to an abortionist house to protest a while back like we do every holiday. I want to tell you what happened on two occasions. That's 1-800-836-9278. That's the phone number to subscribe to the NYART videos, one video a month for $24.95 a month. You get Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then God and the death penalty, New Testament support for capital punishment. And the third month, you get a Bible tour of Israel. Oh, boy, did we have fun in Israel. And Jason Troyer videoed the trip and edited it down to a great video. And then Get Out of the Matrix. That was Bob versus, that's me. I feel like Bob Dole. Bob Dole always referred to himself in the third person. Well, Bob Dole thinks Bob versus a college philosophy class and their professor. Well, that was me. And it was fun. For over an hour, we debated, is there such a thing as right and wrong, as truth? Does God exist? A lot of fun. And then live from Las Vegas. That was on the convention center floor. Really a fun debates. And then morality, why God forbids sexual immorality, which is largely my story. And then Mount St. Helens, that video is from the Institute for Creation Research. Great video on Mount St. Helens. Just great. Divorce and remarriage, biblical material rarely considered. Sex Has a Price Tag from Pam Stenzel. Defending the Faith, Bob Debates Predestination. That was me versus a pastor, Ryan Schwartley. I recommend you listen to the Predestination and Free Will album first, though, before viewing that video. Either way is fine. So anyway, and we've got a couple dozen videos. You'll love them. So subscribe, $24.95 a month. Call us at 800-8-NYART.
You're invited to tune in to Bob Inyart Live weeknights at 7 right here on KLTT. Bob Inyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, hosts a conservative talk radio news show. It's fun. Hear the O'Reilly O'Reilly segments. Explore the real difference between right and left wingers. And learn why liberals call for peace while conservatives fight for freedom. So stay tuned to AM 670 KLTT and listen to Bob Inyart Live weeknights at 7.
We're back. Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-836-9278. So, Daniel, we were in Arapahoe County. Now, you just mentioned Boulder County, right?
Right.
And we talked about Cheeseman Park in Denver County. We were in Arapahoe County protesting at an abortionist house. Now, this guy does abortions at Planned Parenthood for many years. He's killed thousands and thousands of babies there. Gets paid real well to kill those babies. He gets paid, I think, per kill. That's how they pay him, not by the hour. But abortionists for Planned Parenthood get paid per kill. So anyway, we were protesting at his house, and I'm going to tell you two things that happened on two different dates just a block apart, because he lived in a house a half block away, lived a volunteer for Planned Parenthood. In a quarter block from that lived the executive director of Planned Parenthood. All right around a little cul-de-sac, really. And so the abortionist wife comes out her front door and turns around and moons the protesters.
Oh, no.
Now, that is really weird. And what's weird about that is the same thing happened by an abortionist wife. I think it was in Pittsburgh. Just a short time before, it happened to us here in Arapahoe County in Denver. It was just freaky.
And I know that's illegal.
Well, you'd think. But anyway, we were so grossed out, we couldn't even think to call the police. Just grossed out. But just a few weeks after that, or some short time after that, we're up the block at where the volunteer lived. And we always go to the abortionist home. We have our holiday abortionist home visits 8 times a year on New Year's Day and Mother's Day and Memorial Day, Labor Day, July 4th, all the major holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. We go to the abortionist house. It's, you know, a lot of churches have home visitations, and that's our home visitations at Denver Bible Church. At any rate, we went to the other home where the volunteer for Planned Parenthood, and they were having a barbecue out back, and there was a man, a relative, and 2 kids, maybe 13 and 12, something like that, a boy and a girl. And all 3 of them at the same time, they turned around and they mooned our group. We had maybe 20 of us, including, you know, a number of kids. So we called the police. And it was funny, the level of attention we got was quite a bit of attention. And if I recall, we had a captain out there. And now, this is going back a few years, but I'm almost certain the sheriff came out, or the undersheriff, one or the other. And so they said, basically, no, we can't do anything about it. We can't do anything about it because it really didn't cause a disturbance. And so we said, well, Sheriff, if all you need is for us to cause a disturbance over it, we'll be happy to comply if that's what the law requires. And they said, well, you know, really, you just can't do anything about it. So we asked, well, what if we were to pay homeless guys from downtown Denver to come to your church or maybe your home and moon you guys? Will that be legal? We just want your permission before we do it. And, of course, there was no comment.
Oh, my.
But that's where we're, that's where it's all headed, Daniel. But what happened to you is obviously worse than any of these other stories.
Well, is there anything that you can even think of? Because, you know, I don't want to be gross, but all I have to do is say two words, and you'll realize the importance of making sure that these people get removed from there. And the two words are upstream and downstream. Do I have to say more?
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, they have the upstream. And the people where all the tourists go and where the beautiful falls are downstream.
Well, and you're not saying that they were relieving themselves in the water.
Oh, I'm saying worse.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, brother. So they were.
I don't even want to speculate, but look, they were very aggressive.
I had
two young ladies with me, and they did not provide any amount of respect to me and my children.
Whatsoever.
And they knew I was lost because I came from exactly the opposite direction that they came from.
You know, the Division of Wildlife in Colorado is so persnickety about every little rule and where you can set your camp up. You can't be within, 100 yards of a stream, even if you're way out in the outback. And so I guess they're allowed to frolic and do whatever they want to do in our pristine waterways. I guess that...
I had to call and tell you.
All right.
If there was anyone that knew of someone or something that could be done, I thought it might be you.
Well, the thing we need to do, you know, I'm thrilled that Bush has taken the side of we have to stand against homosexual marriages. But, of course, he'll do it as gently and respectfully as possible. But also, we need to get to the point someday, it might not be until the Lord returns, but we need to get to the point where we recriminalize homosexual behavior. That's what has to happen eventually.
Wow.
So it's going to be rough. Hey, Daniel, our five-year-old this morning, he fell off our bed. They were playing in our bedroom on our bed. He fell off and put a gash in his chin.
Oh, no.
And he needed two stitches. So he's recovering his little beard Band-Aid.
Oh, no.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
All right. Bye, Daniel. Well, that's going to happen more and more and more and more and more and more and more. Right? So here's a father, a good friend of ours, Daniel Hedrick, out hiking with his two daughters. And in the middle of the wilderness, along climbing down a mountain, coming to a stream on their way out, they've got naked homosexuals everywhere, no matter where they turn. And so he tries to get to where they're alone, and they come, and there they are. And, you know, we never, when we go hiking in the mountains in Colorado and four times now in four different years, we've climbed a 14,000 foot mountain with 15 guys. And it doesn't matter how high up you are, where you are, you don't just drink the water. You have to process the water and bring it through these strainers or boil it or use pills to kill the bacteria. There's Giardia. What is it called? Giardia? In the water in Colorado that will make you extremely ill if you drink it. And you think that, oh, I'm high up in the mountains and this water is as clean as could be and I'm just going to sip the water. You don't do that. I mean, for one thing, there could be a dead decomposing chipmunk just right upstream. Or animals are in the water with disease, and then there's this microscopic Giardia. But now, there are homos in the water. Ugh. Homos in the water. Forget about the wildlife. There's the homos in the water. What are you going to do? What are we going to do? It's a mess. I'll tell you that. It's a mess. And the further, You see, we talk about breaking the law, God's law. Don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery. Don't commit perjury, don't kidnap. And liberals mock God and mock his law. There's no such thing as right or wrong. The atheist, the theology online, there's no such thing as right and wrong. The debate that I'm in right now, does God exist? 10-round moderated debate. We're in the 9th round. I'll be posting Friday night, late Friday night, my 9th round post. Well, really, you can't break the law. You know what really happens? The law breaks you. You break over the law. That's what happens. Because if you steal, the law still stands as strong and firm as it ever did. Thou shalt not steal. And you steal, and it hurts you. And you steal, and it hurts others. And you teach people to steal, and it hurts them. And it hurts you more. And you commit adultery, you fornicate, you're a sodomite, and it hurts you. Oh, and guess what? Adultery is a greater sin than stealing. Did you know that? Maybe you didn't know that. You know, Christians get easily confused. We do. It's a shame. We don't think very well. We don't take the Bible very seriously. Why? We don't really need to take the Bible seriously because we have our cliches. Our cliches are all purpose, unquestionable. You can't question them. Just all sins are equal. There's no time in heaven. You cannot judge. You have to forgive everyone. That's Christianity today. The only people that Christians today will judge are other Christians who are rebuking the wicked. That's it. They won't judge the wicked. They'll just judge the Christian who's rebuking the wicked. That's it. Isn't that weird? It's weird. But the state of affairs that we're in is it's okay to steal, and a majority of Americans have no problem with stealing. And you think you're a business owner, you've got a few employees, and you steal software, and you steal music, and you think your employees are going to be honest and trustworthy toward you and your money and your office supplies and your materials? Huh, why would that be? Why would they respect your private property when you don't respect the private property of others? Here at Bob and Yurt Live, at Denver Bible Church, those are two different things, but I pastor Denver Bible Church, I host Bob and Yurt Live, we don't steal software. Every computer we buy, we get a new copy of Microsoft Office because that's what we use. It's great software anyway. And that stuff costs a lot of money. What? A couple few hundred dollars? And it's expensive. And we could just make copies. Buy one, put a copy on everything. But no, you think I want to teach our volunteers, teach our kids, teach our co-workers? You think I want to say that, hey, it's okay to steal as long as you don't steal from Denver Bible Church, don't take money out of the collection plate, but you can steal from Bill Gates, you can steal from Sony, just don't steal from me, okay? Oh boy. Of the majority of Americans who think it's okay to steal copyrighted music, software, movies, books, newsletters, what percentage of them are Christians? Well, let me put it this way. What percentage of Christians think it's okay to steal copyrighted material? What percentage do it on a regular basis? Think the answer to that is scary? I think so. Hey, this is Bob and Yurt reminding you to do right, risk the consequences.